You've heard of the Underground Railroad, but do you know how Michigan played a part in it? You know about the famous musicians of Motown, but what about the talented players who accompanied them and went largely unrecognized? Well, Capital Area District Libraries have planned a series of events for Black History Month that'll look at these questions and more. Here to tell us a little bit more about the events is Jolie Hamlin. Jolie is the Associate Director of Public Service at CADL, the Capital Area District Libraries. Hi, Jolie.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Tell us about the first event here. We're talking about this Thursday. It's about the Underground Railroad in Michigan.
Yes. Yep. It's this Thursday at the downtown Lansing branch, 6:30 p.m., and we will have Roy Finkenbein, the director of the Black Abolitionist Archive at the University of Detroit. He's a specialist and expert on slavery, abolition, the Underground Railroad in Michigan, and he's going to be leading a talk, and a very informative talk on that. So we're very excited about that, and it's the first of three different programs that we have this month that are highlighting Black History Month.
And we're going to be joined by Professor Finkenbein here of the University of Detroit Mercy in just a few minutes to learn a little bit more detail about the Underground Railroad Michigan connection. The second event in the series is a documentary screening about some unsung musicians. Who are these musicians?
Well, that is this Saturday. It's Saturday, February 13th, also at the downtown Lansing branch. So the documentary is called The Unsung Musicians of the Motown Empire, and exactly like you said, so we all know a lot of the famous vocalists and groups that came out of Motown, you know, Gladys Knight, Stevie Wonder, Smokey Robinson, but this documentary highlights the musicians that play the background music, that accompanied these superstars. And so both literally and figuratively, they are sort of the unsung, sort of under the radar performers from Motown, but that are just wonderful musicians in their own right also.
And that we've probably heard 1,000 times on records, but are totally unknown by us, totally anonymous.
Correct,
yeah.
Right.
And the third event is very different from the first two. What does it entail? This is a dance piece, right?
Yes, we're very excited about this. This will probably have some appeal to families and younger folks, too. A group by the name of 616, it's 61, then SYX, and then Technique. So 616 Technique will be at our South Lansing branch. Actually, they're going to be in the former police building that's just north of the South Lansing branch so that we have a little bit more room in an auditorium. It's going to be a really cool program. They are going to provide what will surely be a very entertaining and amusing for the eyes dance performance for us. They'll also be offering a little bit of instruction. It's going to be a little interactive. And throughout that time that they're going to be visiting with us at the library, they're going to kind of have some dialogue about the true and really positive aspects of hip-hop culture. So we're really looking forward to that one, too. That is later this month, Saturday, February 27th at 3 p.m. In the same strip mall as the South Lansing branch.
And these are B-boys who are
B-boys,
break
yes.
dancers, right?
Yes, exactly. And they have shared the stage with some very popular hip hop artists out in the world. So they're well known around Michigan. They go to a lot of libraries, kind of out of the goodness of their heart, but they are really quite acclaimed in their own right too.
Well, I've been speaking with Jolie Hamlin, Associate Director of Public Service at Capital Area District Libraries, about their upcoming Black History Month events. We want to have Roy Finkenbein join us now. Roy's the Director of the Black Abolitionist Archive at the University of Detroit Mercy. He'll be the guest speaker again at Thursday night's event. Roy, thank you for joining us.
Good to talk to you.
Set the stage for us here. Remind us when the Underground Railroad began to form especially of the dangers involved with it.
Well, the name really doesn't emerge until railroads start to become important in the 1840s in the North in places like Michigan. But the practice really goes far beyond that and earlier than that. And in fact, you see the first runaway slaves from the slave South, states like Kentucky, Western Virginia, actually making it up here by the 1790s. It really takes off after the War of 1812 and after the Erie Canal opens, and you start getting a lot of people flooding into Michigan from the Northeast. And by the 1820s, 1830s, we're actually having fugitive slave incidents in places like Monroe and Detroit, where the citizenry are kind of banding together to protect people who were faced with recapture.
How important a link was Michigan in the Underground Railroad chain, if you will?
Well, I think it was of crucial importance. You know, it's interesting, there's a well-known historian at Columbia, Eric Foner, has written a book that's gotten a lot of play in the popular mind called Gateway to Freedom. And he's talking about the Northeast Corridor, you know, Philadelphia, New York. Michigan, southeastern Michigan, was actually more important in terms of raw numbers. A lot of runaway slaves from the War of 1812 up into the Civil War flooded through this area and were protected. And in fact, in some ways, it was Michigan that provoked southern politicians to push for a stronger Fugitive Slave Act, because people were flooding into Canada, but they were also being protected here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand there were some notable Michiganders who played prominent roles in the Underground Railroad in helping slaves get to Canada. Who were some of those?
Well, some that come immediately to mind are people like Erastus Hussey in Battle Creek. He and his wife were very bold. He was a Quaker, and in fact, at one point in the 1840s, he literally walked through town with several dozen fugitives that he was taking towards Detroit. People like Laura Haviland in Adrian, this quiet Quaker woman who eventually converted to another faith, but against all odds, this little woman not only protected people in Adrian and opened a school there and helped folks get to Canada, but she actually secretly went south to places like Kentucky and Arkansas to help folks get out. So the Quaker community, very well representative, various Presbyterian groups. In Detroit, a lot of it was in the hands of African Americans, both former slaves and free blacks. If you've been down to the Detroit River and seen the Underground Railroad monument there facing the river, it has a very sturdy-looking gentleman pointing fugitive slaves across the river, and that's George de Baptiste. He was an interesting guy who was pretty bold. He actually bought a ship at one point to take people across the river, allegedly on the way, you know, running people back and forth to Sandusky. And he'd stop to get firewood, of course, on the Canadian side, and then he'd unload.
Fascinating story. So many fascinating stories. Again, we want to thank Jolie Hamlin, Associate Director of Public Service at CATL, the Capital Area District Libraries. We've got events this Thursday with Professor Finkenbein. Also this Saturday, both of those are at the downtown Lansing Library location. And, of course, we've got the dance hip-hop presentation happening. Remind us where that is, Jolie.
That is... Just north of the South Lansing branch, which is on South Cedar, and that library, that branch is in sort of a strip mall, and there's an old police precinct.
Understood.
That's there. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jolie.
Good luck
with the events. Professor Roy Finkenbein, Director of the Black Abolitionist Archives at the University of Detroit Mercy, we look forward to your visit. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.